Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. To beloved brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa Jumu'ah Mubarak. The extra wires today is updated my iPhone and the AirPods don't work on it. So, inshallah, we'll straighten that out. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Fa'akim wajhaka lidin hanifa. Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nasa 'alayha. La tabdila li khalqi la. ذلك الدين قيما ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. وجمعه مبارك. أما بعد. An expression of this, the 30th verse of the 30th chapter of the Quran. It is, so set your face steady and truly to the faith. Establish Allah's handiwork according to the pattern on which He has made mankind. No change let there be in the work wrought by Allah. That is the way of life, right and straight. But most among mankind understand it not. We say Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. The subject that we continue today is taqwa and the game of life. Taqwa and the game of life. We had started out with a much longer title, which was taqwa and the al-Islam game of life. Then boiled it down to taqwa and the game of life. It's important for us to understand that when we use that idiom or that phrase or that label, game of life, and even and especially the term game itself, we're not playing. It's very, very serious. And alhamdulillah, we pray that Allah blesses us to open up and clarify it well enough for you so that you can benefit from it. We want you to take game as an abstract. When we say an abstract, it's the truth without details. We also want you to take game as an analogy. Analogy means it is a sign or a symbol or something that helps you understand another thing. One thing being used to help you understand another thing. We have phrases like, oh, it's just like riding a bicycle, right? And so you know that phrase can relate to any number of things, right? But it particularly what it's holding is the idea that, well, there was something that you used to do, but then you haven't been doing it for a long time, and now you're starting to do it all over again. But you used to do it all the time, and you had mastered it, and so it's like, oh, it's just like riding a bicycle, right? So the bicycle itself is being used as an analogy for how easy it is for something that you mastered for you to get back to it. So when I say game as an analogy, or al-Islam being analogized as a game, then we want you to think about games and then fit al-Islam into that paradigm. Fit al-Islam into that paradigm and then, okay, so now let's play the game. Okay? So, there are, you know, some games that we know, right? Let's go with basketball, right? Basketball, it's a game, right? And it's a game with an object, right? And the object is for you, if you're playing, to get the ball into the other person's basket, they call it, but it's also a goal, right? So if somebody hits the ball in the wrong way at the wrong time, they call it goaltending. Call it goaltending. So this is to point out to you that we call it a basket, but it's actually a goal, right? In the game of soccer, the person that sits in front of that big square net, he's called the goalie. Same way with the hockey, but he's called the goalie, right? And the three-point play in football, American football, right, is a field goal. A field goal. And offense is going towards your goal, and defense is protecting your enemy, your opposition. They're trying to score a point by getting to your goal. And your defense is to defend them from getting to your goal. But also the offense is to get to the other, the challenges, the opposite team's goal. So what I'm saying is that basketball, when you make a point in somebody else's basket, you get a point. You weren't actually making a point in your basket. That's not your basket. As their basket, okay? So, every game has a field that is played in. We call a football field, baseball diamond, basketball court, right? And, well, chess and checkers, you play that game on a board, right? So the field that it's played in has different names, right? And the point system for every game is determined by whatever the rules of the game are, right? Basketball, a normal basket, 2 points, beyond the arc, 3 points, whatever, free throw, 1 point, you know, baseball, you know, also the object of baseball is to touch all four faces. You're trying to touch 1, 2, 3, 4. So if you move around and you get all those bases touched, then you get a point, right? Tennis, another thing. You hear the idea about game, set, match, right? There's so many things you have to do to win a game, so many things you have to do to win a set, so many things you have to do to win the match. All right, all I'm trying to raise in your consciousness now is the idea that games are played with certain rules, on a certain field, with certain goals in mind. All right? All right. So now, let's talk about the game of life. The game of life. Right? I believe this verse is a verse that is 30-30, is a verse that can encompass for us the larger picture of the game of life. Okay. I'm going slow so you can take a breath along with me, because things are going to speed up in a minute, but I want you to be with me when we take off, inshallah. All right, strategy and tactics. Strategy and tactics. In every game, there's strategy and tactics. The general way that we understand strategy and tactics may not be the way that I'm going to explain it to you right now, but it's a way of understanding it, right? Strategy is the overall objective. The overall objective. It's almost like saying a strategy is the game that you're playing. The overall objective. Tactics are the details. Details that are designed to do what? To help you achieve your strategy. So the strategy is a goal, an aim, the larger thing that you're trying to accomplish. Okay. So let's look at these things in the context of this verse. فَأَكِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِدِينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ قَيِّمًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Let's start with one word that I want you to frame in the way that we are explaining it. Take deen to mean the game of life. Deen, the game of life. Deen, the game of life. All right, so now when we say فَأَكِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. All right? God is saying, make it your commitment, وَجْهَكَ, your face, your intention, your purpose. Make it your purpose. فَأَكِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِدِّينِ for. Make your purpose, make your intention. For لِدِّينِ حَنِيفًا, the way of life without anything mixed into it. Without the deen in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends. Ladeen Hanif. Hanif is straight, quote unquote orthodox, nothing mixed up in it. So that's the first statement. Now, put it in common terms that we've all been exposed to. Be true to the game. Think enough, we've heard enough of that. Enough of us have heard that. You gotta be true to the game. Well, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. First thing, be true to the game. But now we're talking about, because we know that's street talk in a manner of speaking. Man, you got to be, I'm true to the game, man. You ain't true to the game, man. You got charged to the game. No. What we're saying is be true to the game of life. That's the only game. In fact, scientifically, sociologically speaking, it would be called the meta game. The meta game. What's the meta? It's the game that encompasses all the other games that are played inside. Oh, in the Olympics. Let's go with that, okay? I want you to see it. Al-Islam is the Olympics. Analogy, right? Al-Islam is the Olympics. Now, is there only one event that happens in the Olympics? No. In the Olympics, it's every quote-unquote form of sport fundamentally is included in that. Right? I see two young men who are going to be heading to the Olympics soon in fencing, inshallah. We're going to keep that in our dua so we can holler about that. Yeah, I know them, but let's get back to the subject. So the Olympics, so you have the Olympics, and then you have all the events that happen inside the Olympics. So you have the meta game. I'm saying to you, Al-Islam is the meta game. I mean, the subject is so broad, I have to just give the larger pieces, because inside of the meta game, Al-Islam, is every other game of life. Every other significant game in the Olympics, you have fencing, you have martial arts, you have you got table tennis, you got basketball, you got swimming, you got horseback riding, you got track and field, and inside track and field, you have all the things inside of that, gymnastics, etc. All right, so let those things be all the things that happen in life. Olympics is Al-Islam. Deen al-Fitr. Life is everything that happens in life. Life is every other game. You can nod your heads. I want to make sure, are you with me? Because I'm about to take a step. You don't have to amen or nothing. I just need to know that you're with me. Okay. See, because Al-Islam, because it is deen, it has something to say about everything in life. You don't have to go somewhere else to get good advice on anything in life. Al-Islam will advise us and advises us and informs us and directs us and provides us with principles to guide every dimension of our life. Al-Islam, however, I want to repeat, Al-Islam is the meta game. Family is one of the games inside of the metagame. Business is one of the games inside of the metagame of Al-Islam. So there's an Islamic way of doing family. There's an Islamic way of doing education. There's an Islamic way of doing government. There's an Islamic way of doing economics. Huh? And Al-Islam has an answer for that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَكِمْ وَجَهَكَ لِدِينَ حَنِيفًا, He's saying, play the metagame. Make sure that your Al-Islam is solid, so that when you go into the penthouse office to do business, you do not become something else. You're still a Muslim believer in the boardroom. You're still a Muslim believer in the ivory tower. You're still a Muslim believer on Wall Street. You're still a Muslim believer in law enforcement, whatever. That's the first sentence. فَأَكِمْ وَجَهَكَ لِدِينَ حَنِيفًا. You're saying that God is saying, except to put all of your life under the rubric, under the umbrella, under the guidance, under the authority of Al-Islam. Don't be Muslim on Friday midday, and then Saturday morning, you're unidentifiable as a Muslim. No. Okay, so much for that. So the true game of life is Al-Islam, Deen. What is the game of life? Deen. And Quran says, "Inna Deena 'inda Allahi al-Islam," and the Deen with Allah is Al-Islam. Okay. Now. The next sentence, فِطْرَةُ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. If I say Barack Obama, the President of the United States, I have said two things, but am I talking about two things? No. I'm talking about one, a man who is the president. The second statement gives you a detail about the first statement. Same way here. فَأَكِمْ وَجِهَكَ لِدِينَ حَنِيفًا. Stop. I'm going to just stick with my example. Barack Obama. فَتَتَ اللَّهِ لَتِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. The President of the United States. فَأَكِمْ وَجِهَكَ لِدِينَ حَنِيفًا. فَتَتَ اللَّهِ لَتِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. This Deen Hanifa is what? God tells us what it is. Fitatullahi leti fatra nasa alayha. So now, with the understanding that fa'akim wajhaka li Deen Hanifa, we can set that phrase aside. Fa'akim wajhaka. Now let's take li Deen Hanifa out. Let's take it out. Because now we can replace that with فَتَتَ اللَّهِ لَتِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. So what is God saying? Make it your commitment to stick to the origins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. That same ordering in the cosmos is the ordering upon which human beings have been ordered. فَتَتَ اللَّهِ, it is the origin, Allah's origination, not him as an originator, but he's the one who originated everything. Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nas alayha. He's the one that he originated human beings on. So what are you committed to? You're committed to the original pattern upon which you were made by Allah. That's our commitment. Our commitment is to be true to the original pattern upon which Allah has made us. So what therefore is that? That's the game of life. That's the game of life. Game of life is what? Is to be true to your origins. Not ethnically, racially, skin color. No. Your original creation. Be true to your original creation as conceived and as formed and shaped by Allah. Allah's handiwork according to the pattern on which he has made mankind. What does that mean? Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nasa alayha. Being committed to that. Being committed to that original pattern, that original design that Allah has made. What does that mean? It means to make that nature conscious. Put it in these words. Realization, you've heard this word, realization, but not slow it down. Realization. You want to bring it from non-functioning to actualization. That's another way of saying it. You want to actualize that original nature. I know, you know, I'm looking at you and you're very functional, very handsome, very beautiful, very capable, very accomplished. I'm looking at you. But all of us, speaker included, none of us are fully realized human beings. None of us are fully realized human beings. To to be, there's many things involved with being a fully realized human being, but essentially a fully realized human being is someone who has attained the completion of the form upon which they were originated. That's the religion, the deen, the game of life, is to what? To realize that original pattern that my existence says it's in you. You're a human being, and there's no human being existing that doesn't have in them that original nature and that original pattern, but all human beings have not realized that original nature and that original pattern. They have not actualized that potential. They have not made it actionable. And that's what Al-Islam is about. That's the game of life. The game of life is the realization of your original nature. So when you walk, it's your original nature alive and walking. When you think and feel and see, it's your original nature thinking, feeling, and seeing. So it's the conscious realization of our original nature. Now, Allah says, لا تبديل لخلق الله. لا تبديل لخلق الله. Khalq comes in. Translation, expression of it, form. La tabdila li khalqillah. Don't change the form that Allah made you in. You have to know. To do this, here's an image. You have one hand, other hand, this. They are reciprocal. They are complementary. They are mirror images of each other. All right. When we look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, there are terms, you call the term Idafa. Idafa. What's an Idafa? Idafa is two nouns and one noun is possessed by the other. That's what the Arabic term, Idafa. The two Idafas in the sentences that I mentioned, that I'm mentioning right now, and my aim is for you to see one Idafa and the other Idafa, and then what falls out of that as guidance, which is what? Fitat Allah, that's an idafa. It's the origin, Allah's original pattern, not him as a being, but his conceptualization, which he explained when he says, Fataran Nasa Aleha. Human beings were made on Allah's, I'm going to use the word, conceptualization of what he wanted to come into existence. So Allah conceptualized. He originated this as an idea for the human being, and then he made the human being on it. And that pattern is also in the cosmos. That pattern is also in the creation. And listen. Don't let this crazy world that told you you're dumb, stupid, incapable, or whatever, say, oh, that's too heavy for me. Stop it. You can understand that, unless I'm superhuman. You can understand this. So don't let Satan check you out of the conversation. So there's the, and God says in the Quran, don't think that your creation is a bigger matter than the universe itself. And in this sentence, فِتَتُ اللَّهِ لَفِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. He said, you are, I'm going to use an analogy that gets to it quick. Conceptually, you're going to have to think more about it. But it's like you are a cookie cutter image out of the creation. Let the universe be the dough. And let the conception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your human existence be the cookie cutter. And then Allah removes that put the form on it, and then now take it up out of the dough, and this is what you're looking at. Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nasa 'alayha. Here's the universe. Here's the man that was made out of the universe. And the same stuff that's in the universe is in every human being. You are made of the stuff that the universe is made of. Realization, actualization, is learning how to connect your mind to the abstractions that are in the creation. Don't get scared of words now. And then know how to translate the behavior out there into the equivalence for you as a human being. It's so much easier than you think. One, I said two idafas. Fitratullah, I tried to explain that. La tabdila li khalqila. That's the other idafa. Khalqillah. Fitratullah, khalqillah. Fitratullah, khalqillah. Fitratullah, khalqillah. Okay, so there are two that are common in there. So remove the common feature. What's the common feature? Of Allah. Of Allah. Fitratullah, take that away, you're left with fitr. Khalqillah, take away illah, take that away, you're left with khalq. My dua is for you. You make dua for me that I can be as clear as possible. Because what I just showed you, my analogy was correct. The dough is the universe. The cookie cutter is the pattern that Allah put on and in effect by His will in the universe. And out of that impact, you get the form of a human being. Fitr, khalq. Fitr, khalq. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Ad-deen mu'amala." Behavior, religion, the deen is behavior. And the scholars extend when they talk about it, and khuluq, khuluq, khuluq. What's that? Good character. Akhlaq, character. Khulqan azim, a great high standard of character, is where the Prophet was established upon, found upon. Alright. La tabdila li khalqillah. Don't change the form and character that Allah created in you. Now, here comes the last part of the sentence. Take everything as instruction. That was instruction, that was instruction, that was instruction. Now, here Allah gives us, I'm going to call it an editorial statement to conclude what He has instructed us in. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ قَيَّمًا وَلَّكِنَ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. You remember that verse where Allah says, "Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-din." This day have I perfected for you your way of life, and I have completed for you your way of life, and I have perfected my favor upon you, and I have preferred for you al-islam ad-din, al-Islam as the way of life. Right? So, here, that's the favor that Allah has done for us. In those three sentences is the answer to the game of life. Wallahi, Allahu A'lam, is the answer to the game of life. Make it your commitment to be true to your origins, and your origins can be found in the cosmos itself. Don't change that form, that results from being true to it. And that is the game of life. That is your way of life. But most among mankind don't know that. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ قَيْمًا. That is the game of life straight. So let me see if we can summarize and conclude this portion of Islam. Put in just common terms. Allah is telling you, here's what you have to do. In order to get the best out of life, commit yourself to live life the way that Allah intends for human beings to live life. The life that you live, it is already in you. Don't change it. That is the way that will get you where you're trying to go. But most people don't understand that. Now think about it. How many people do you think really understand that nature of life? And I know it's got to be some, and I'll put it on me before I put it on you. It's like, I didn't quite, that explanation didn't fully clarify me. Allahu alim, Allah guides whom he please, but inshallah, understand. Ad-deen as-samih, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said the religion is simple. And that's a part of what makes things hard for people. They complexify it. Now you might think that maybe some of the words I might use is complexified. I hope not. But the point is, I'm really simplifying it. Be what you have been created to be originally by being true to the way of life. And God said, I have given you the way of life. Do it the way I gave it to you. Don't change it and you'll be fine. What's hard about that? I mean, what's hard about that? And what you're going to find by Allah's grace, inshallah, we conclude this portion. God says, it is but your deeds that I reckon up, and in the Hadith Qudsi, it is but your deeds that I reckon up for you and recompense you for. Let him who finds good praise Allah. And let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself. There's a big message in that than the one that we're used to hearing. The one we're used to hearing, well, that's on you, man. You're the one that did it, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not the only thing it's saying. Look at, yourself. There's you, and there's yourself. Let him who finds good praise Allah. But let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself. Now that's who you got to watch out for over there, because that one can mess you up. Who? Yourself. Does it make a lot more sense to now be told, know thyself? Because if you don't know yourself, yourself can get you in trouble. Why does Quran tell us that we need self-restraint? Why do I need self-restraint? Because yourself can be your friend or your worst enemy.
ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, I'm really interested, loving for my brother and sister what I love for myself. And I always ask Allah's help, aid, and assistance to make clear things that are clear to me and that have benefited me. And I love for my brother and sister what I love for myself. One of the things that we're going to have to learn to embrace, some of us have, and we need to do it a little bit more. We have to embrace the quote-unquote, the mystery and the paradox of life, right? You don't have to get all spooky. You don't need LSD and, you know, ayahuasca or whatever, psychoactive drugs. You know, no. I'm not talking about that. Stated simply, I'll give you the simplest statement to begin with. Do you know that you, we talked about you, yourself, right? Do you know that you are the origin, you are the vehicle, you are the path, and you are the destiny? You're the origin, you're the vehicle, you're the path, and you're the destiny. If you heard what I said, it's like you're going from yourself unrealized to yourself realized. That's the journey. That's the journey in this world. The journey in this world is to discover your origins and to realize its potential. To become conscious of what Allah has created as you and in you and in you that's for you, and to cultivate it so that you will have access to it to live upon and by and through. But the distance is like what I'm illustrating. Here you are, how close are you to the actualization of your original potential? Progress is made how? It's simple. Practice al-Islam. Play the al-Islam game of life. Think about whatever it is that you're doing right now, meaning I'm talking about people that have careers, projects. That project could be your family. Don't matter. You understand what I'm saying? Don't think that every time I say, well, he's talking about people who are architects and engineers and who are investors. And no, I'm talking about all human beings. You got some reason you get up, get out of the bed, and walk out the door. You have some reason for being. Right? So I'm putting upon what I'm saying an assumption that you got something that you're working on. If you wake up and you don't know whether you should turn left or right or stay at home or go out, or you got issues. And I've heard it said, if you got issues, it's you. You got to look yourself in the mirror. You got to ask yourself, you know, what good am I? What am I useful for? Why does anybody need me for anything? Who can depend on me and for what? You got to have a good answer to that question. If you don't have an answer to that question, then that's one of the first places that you're failing in the game of Al-Islam. Because one of the tactics that we get from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, surely the best among you is the one who is most useful to society. All right. So, whatever it is that you're working on, whatever it is that you are dedicated to, devoted to, or what have you, there's something in Al-Islam that can help you improve that. I've come to the condition of mind and with full satisfaction that there's not an area of life that I'm speaking for myself. This is no boast. I know it's true for many other people, but I have to speak for myself. Allahu alam. And we say this in all humility, watching out for the self, right? He said, and the man entered into the garden in a condition unjust to his own self. So I don't want to do harm to my own self, right? But there's not a successful thing that anybody is doing and has done in the world. It's successful and it's a good thing, but they have succeeded upon some value and principle that is sacred in Al-Islam. Wallahi. You pick them, and you get their autobiography, get what they say, you know, to what do you attribute your success? How is it possible for you to have accomplished so much so quickly in such a thick field of competitors, blah, blah, blah. And when they tell you, well, you know, actually, woo, 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 I have to put it that way. And we can point to, oh, that's Al-Islam. They might not be Muslims, but they have affixed themselves to, committed themselves to, a sacred principle which the universe offered up. They didn't choose it from an imam, or they didn't choose it from the Quran, or they didn't choose it from hadith. They chose it from something that came in their own nature and came into their own consciousness, and they embraced that as a principle and they acted on it, and since that principle was true to the creation itself, they got the benefit of a universal value that was always in the cosmos, always in their nature, but they became conscious of it, disciplined themselves to it, khalq, huh? They took the form consistent with that value, and they got the product that the value promised. So, I'm saying, think about your field. Think about your endeavor. Think about your area of interest. Be real clear on what, you know, you might think that you're, I'm almost finished, but I want to give you this. Once heard an anecdote that said there were 600 million drills that were sold in a prior year. And then the group was asked, what did the people buy? What did the people buy? Everybody started thinking about the machinery and, you know, the equipment, et cetera. No. He said they bought holes. They weren't buying drills. That's kind of, yeah, I like drills. I collect drills. Maybe somebody does, but it's not a common thing. Most people who get a drill, all they want is the hole. Okay, so what do you do? What do you offer to the world? What is it the world is accepting from you? Find out what that is, because it may not be the actual physical thing that you're thinking about. There's some other need that's being met, and the very thing that you're working on is not the physical, literal, concrete, objective thing. It is the abstract, the subjective, the needs of the individual that are being met. The Prophet said, "Khayrukum man yanfa'u an-nas." Surely the one who is most useful to mankind. That's a business statement. What do you have to do? Utility. What is it that you offer? I offer X. Okay, and what is X good for? What is it used for? What do people really get out of it? Is it the thing itself, or is it some other subjective, abstract thing? Well, then that's the business that you're in. The business that you're in is providing what will provide that experience. So you see, all of this is to say we have to learn how to think deeply about what we're engaged in, and when we understand what we're actually engaged in, then now we can go back to the Quran and ask, well, what does the Quran have to say about that? What does the Prophet have to say about that? When we do that, that's what's going to advance us in every area.
رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. O Allah, let not our hearts deviate now if you guide us aright, and grant us a mercy from your own presence, for surely the grant of bounties without measure. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. O Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the complete way of life. We thank you for showing us how to live that way of life fully and completely. We thank you for your perfect favor. We thank you for your perfect model example in Prophet Muhammad. O Allah, we beg for deeper, higher, broader, more comprehensive understanding of this way of life. We know that you have revealed through our Prophet that this way of life is simple. O Allah, help us to apprehend the simplicity of this great and wonderful favor that you have given for us. O Allah, let not this favor pass us by. Bless us not to be unmindful of the grace that you bestowed upon us. Bless us not to be mentally lazy. Bless us not to be physically lazy. Bless us not to be spiritually lazy. Bless us to be among those who are energetic and convicted for and towards the goals that you have set before us, so that we can earn that greeting to return to you pleased and pleasing. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa aqimus salat.
Before you, and the power of this gift is for you. The world needs you. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi ta'ala wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning for University Mission of Leadership. Alhamdulillah, we just aired yesterday's live recording of the Jumu'ah, Taqwa, and the Game of Life, Part 2, from Masjid Warthin in Oakland, California. Alhamdulillah. We look forward to extending on that subject, and we will we'll proceed as Allah wills, as Allah allows, as Allah guides, permits, etc., and we hope that we'll continue to be of benefit to you in that regard. Now, those of you who are on Facebook, YouTube, et cetera, if you have a comment, question that you want to bring as we begin, we always like to get feedback from you before we start our Saturday portion of the presentation. So if you do have comments, now is the time. Push one on your phone. Come on through. I'll continue to look at the comments section of the StreamYard, which includes Facebook and YouTube. But that's my last ask. Come on. If you have a comment, now's the time. Don't be shy. Go in once. Go in twice. Let me reload this. Make sure we're straight here. Sometimes technology, like, all right, great. I updated my iPhone yesterday and my AirPods. If anybody has some idea about why my AirPods won't work, I updated it to the iOS 15 or something like that. And now when I'm on Blog Talk, the AirPods won't connect. So I'll have to use the Pinocchio strings again. Moving right along. Imam Nazim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You, brother Imam. Just fine. I just wanted to chime in and sort of support, not necessarily what you said, but the fact that you give yourself permission to say it. I mean, just like you were making the analogy that the role of the drill is to drill the hole, okay? So the role of the speaker or the imam who's speaking is not, that's not him talking. I mean, you know, if it is, then you got the wrong imam. That's all I can tell you. But when we hear you and you speak with such confidence, we say, oh, well, he think whatever, or I want to be like him, or I can never be like him. But when you listen closely to what the imam's saying, you're not necessarily listening to what he got to say. You're listening to what he has to say about the Quran or the life of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Imam W.D. Muhammad, rahimahullah. And then you will hear it, then it pushes him out the way, and it pushes the problem that you were having out the way, and the bigness shows up. Bigger than both of y'all, you know, and I'm saying it funnily and jestly, but I think that somebody out there needed to hear that, because that's what you just said a while ago. You can be your best friend or your worst enemy. The decision is yours, but there's nothing wrong with the knowledge or the person who's presenting the knowledge, and if it is, they, because their intentions is good, they'll correct that next week or next time or whatever. They say, you know, I said that, but this is what I really meant. You know, so I just wanted to go through a little exercise and just sort of confirm that I tune in every week because of that. And I love you, and you my mentor and my brother and all that. But I love that you deliver the goods every week, and that's my real love for you. And I do that because Allah loves people who do that. And so I love them too. One last thing, brother, would you just share quickly, not quickly, but I'm not even asking for it. What is the chapter and verse of that one? And it says, never will Allah change the condition of a people till they change themselves what is in their own heart.
Eight.
Is that 44?
Eight. One of them is 853.
853. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And you can also try, for the second one, I can go check real quick right here. I believe 5311 is also. So what did I say? I said 853? I don't have.
853, yeah. 5311.
Yeah, 853 is for sure. I'm looking at it. So that's one. And since we're here, let me just take a quick look and see. 53. That would be interesting, huh? You got 53 and
yeah.
1 and 52.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Maybe. Let's see. 53. No, that's not it.
Okay.
Nope. So, inshallah,
I'll do my research on it. I'll find each other a second. Looking for the second one.
All right, sure. All right, shukran.
F1.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. You're welcome.
All right. 1032. This is Imam Esma. Let's see if we got connected. We connected.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm connected. So, I think the other verse, Imam Nazim was asking, I think it's 13:11.
13:11, okay. I knew there was 11 in there. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. I think I just have one little quick question. And I know we're talking on the subject of taqwa. And there are so many... definitions. Imam has given taqwa with so many definitions, and the last one that sticks with me the most is in the surah 87. What nafsi wa ma sawaha fa alhamaha fa jurha wa taqwaha.
That's 91.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, so the one that I'm sticking with most right now is the taqwa as moral conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Can you?
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, at another time, I'm gonna expose more of the idea of the limitations of dictionaries, and enough to say briefly, really the role of the dictionary does not put an end to the meaning of a word, right? The dictionary mm-hmm. basically just collects the different uses that the word has been put to, and that usage has been accepted to speakers of whatever that language is. But that does not represent the end all of what that word means. It basically gives a hint to people who already, I'm going to put it this way as an analogy, who already know the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? If you already know the neighborhood, you in the neighborhood, then when a particular word, it could have many more meanings than the ones that are established and written and published in a book. And those meanings are functional and informal and the like. And I know, mashallah, Allahu alam, you know, that the Imam respected, Imam Muhammad, that is, respected that fact and did not limit himself to only saying that something meant what you can turn to a page into a dictionary and say that it meant that. No, that's not all that it meant. So yes, it means that also among other things, yes.
Oh, okay. So in relationship, this Nafsin Mutma'ina, as a part
mm-hmm.
of the soul, the nafs.
Yeah.
And now when we talk about nafs and mutma'ina, we have to come to where Allah is inviting the soul into his paradise.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So you would have to pair, seems like you would have to pair the nafs and mutma'ina and taqwa as a condition
Absolutely.
For this invitation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. See, it's like the way that we're, I mean, you're on target. You understand. You resonate with it. You're on track. I mean, you're on the right river and you're following the right current. Okay, so it's like right, but because we're just at the stage of the subject where we really haven't even gotten into the taqwa of it. Right now, we're just talking about the game of life aspect of it.
The taqwa
is the, I don't know, it's the nuclear engine of it all. I don't even know what to call it. The point is that when you get to the taqwa dimension of it, it's like, man, warp speed. I guess that's where I'm at now, galactic and cosmos in my thinking. But you're absolutely right. So just let's just keep riding, and we're going to get to it.
One last thing. Now, I'm reading early 75. I'm saying the schema of 75, and when we talk about creation supported logic, social logic, in those early teachings, Imam uses water as a symbol to take you parallel to moral conscience. Mm.
Yep.
Uh-huh. So this is part of my thinking. So this social logic, creation supported logic, and water, those things are so important. And I think you mentioned before we even had the script, written script, Adam, he understood that nature in water. He would have had, Allah would have had to teach Adam that nature operating in water to transferring that concept to the human soul.
Yeah.
Is that
right?
Absolutely.
And so when we get to that conversation, Allah says all life is created from water. You know, everything is created from water. But it's not just the H2O as you would know. Water is abstract. In scripture, water is being used abstractly. It's the truth without details. And you have to, get into the details and the context that is spoken of. One very briefly comes to mind. We're going to move on. When Moses was, he was told to go where the two bodies of water meet. That's to find the wise man. He had to go to where the two bodies of water meet, right? Our implied learning, our socialization, even in scripture, I mean, a cross would automatically I guess it depends on which mind it strikes. But a cross comes to mind, right? And then the idea but the two bodies of water also representing two ideas, material and spiritual. You can relate it that way. I mean, two bodies of knowledge, right, interacting with each other, material science, spiritual science. All of this is saying, that you have to be able to reconcile two things. When you reconcile those two things, then therein is where knowledge, wisdom, actually begins. When you get when people talk about, for example, does Allah, is evolution real or was everything just a creation? Well, for us, where the two bodies meet is that the creation is evolutionary, and evolution is one of the ways that Allah uses to create. Now, all the other Darwinian stuff, and how that has been abused, misused, etc., that's another story. But the point is, Allah creates through evolution, and evolution is a part of the process of creation. So all that comes from thinking about, yes, water, but the water is as a symbol. So we'll get more into it as we go on.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you,
Imam.
You got it. You're on the right track, mashallah. Alhamdulillah.
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 Wa alaykum as-salam.
Let me express my sympathy to Sister Khalila, her brother, Pastor Khalila, is his wife. Sister Khalila, if you're listening, and to all, we keep him in our dua. May Allah grant him forgiveness of his shortcomings and enter into paradise, inshallah. All right, 316. What's your name? Where you calling it from? You're 510. You there? 316-510. All right. Going once. Going twice. All right. We're done. All right. All right. So let's go on. I'm just gonna add some supplemental elements too. What we talked about in the Jumu'ah, so I'm not looking at the studio, and I'm not looking at comments from YouTube or Facebook. Let's start with the Satara and Khalaqa. Satara and Khalaqa. We spent a lot of time in the Jumu'ah on that. Satara, understand that to be the origin, and you can call it the original pattern. The origin. Khalaqa is the form that comes as a result of applying the pattern, right? Easy analogy, women and men, patterns that are made for garments, patterns, the little, I'm remembering the little tissue paper type material. You take it out, and then you have the bulk of material, and then you take the pattern out of the little envelope, right? Open it up, lay it on the material, and then cut, such that you're cutting the material to reflect the pattern that you laid on top of the material before you started cutting. So you cut. Okay, now you can take the paper off, the paper pattern off. Set it aside, fold it up, put it back in the envelope. That's over there. And now the garment that you, or probably you don't have the garment yet, but you have at least a portion of the garment that you intend to include in the final structure, it is a reflection of the pattern that you cut it upon. Okay, well, the pattern is fetara. The pattern in that physical concrete example, that's fetara, right? Somebody created that pattern, all right? And so that's the origination, right? Now you take material, and then you shape the material according to the pattern, okay? So the pattern is khalaq, the pattern is fatara. The resulting shape is khalaq. That should be clear, all right? So Allah conceived of the reality of human beings, all right? Allah conceived of the reality of human beings. I mean, that's that. You know, it's like, I am going to make a creature. We now call ourselves human beings. Before we even existed and even had a label, name, title, for whatever that is, Allah had already said, this is what I'm going to make. Right, and in fact, that's literally what the Quran says: "Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa." I am making in the earth a khalifa. It's not even. They say I'm going to make in the earth a human being. I'm making a khalifa. The ultimate destiny, the ultimate end that I have in mind for what I'm going to make is khalifa. All right, so. And what are the two processes? Fatara and Khalaqa. Fatara and Khalaqa. Now, I gave the example yesterday of dough. You take the dough, roll the dough out, then you have the cookie cutter, right? I'm using cookie cutter, right? I'm bringing you all the way to what I know is in your head, the gingerbread man. So it's like you have in your mind the structure. The structure of the cookie cutter is like the structure of a gingerbread man, right? So there you have that. Now you have the you have the material, you have the matter, you have the dough. Now you take this pattern. This is fetara. This is fetara. What is it? It's the conception that Allah has for his special creation. He made the universe. So the universe is there before he began his special creation. So fatara, then he put the cookie cutter on the dough, right? Take away the cookie cutter, he can pull out the form that came as a result of it. So I want you to have in mind three things. You have the cookie cutter, fetara. You have the dough, the universe. You have the fetara interacting with the universe. And what results is khalaqa. What results is the human being. Now, we, in my illustration, I'm only illustrating it in a two-dimensional type of way. You pull it up and you just see, you know, the form, flat two-dimensional form. Now, amplify that is not, it's not just dough, you know, it's not just physical. So what Allah creates is physical, rational, metaphysical / spiritual. That's the actual being. So you got the illustration, and that's that, right? Now, so we were grounding everything that we were saying in Surah 30, Ayah 30. A'udhu billah, fitratullahi lati fatara an-nasa alayha. It's the fitra of Allah. What is the fitra of Allah? This cookie cutter in my illustration. The fitra of Allah is the cookie cutter. Right? What is it? It's a particular kind of shape designed to have a particular impact on matter. Right? So yeah, all this dough, universe, etc., all that's matter. But I want you to understand, it includes its laws, its principles, its axioms, and all of the, you know, so moving on. We're talking about the earth. So we're talking about the universe now. We're talking about something that's more than in the physical dimension. It's in all other dimensions, because in the final analysis, we are, yes, our body's material, but our reality is not. Our reality is not the material. So that's when you go to the verse in the Quran, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ فَقَوْءُ لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. And Allah says, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, so he got the quote-unquote the physical dimension. When Allah breathes into that, his spirit, then it becomes a living creature. And that is also when the angels were ordered to bow. And when Allah says, fatara nas alayha, we made the human being upon what? Upon fitra, upon what is that? My pattern, my Allah, my pattern, my idea of him that I'm bringing out of the universe that I created before him. That I bring him out of that universe that I created. But in him is all the stuff that's in the universe. Fitratullahi lati fatara nasa alayha. You're the same stuff. So that's why we use, that is, in our language, we use the term macrocosm and microcosm. Macro, big. Micro, small. Small universe. There's much science and much teaching to confirm what we're saying. There's a saying that talks about how the all is in the small. I could draw it if I have to master this technology a little better. But I could show you by a drawing how you could see the all in the small. And it's very, very, very simple. But since I'm not in a position to do that right now, I'll simply make the claim and I'll have to prove it later. In fact, I'll bring an illustration later on that. Not today, but during the length of the presentation. All right. Okay, so inside of all of us is everything that is in the universe. Yeah. But not, you know, there's the sun that's out there is not in here. But a correlate of the sun in here. What the sun represents and how it functions in the physical world is also, there's also a sun in here, in me. But it's not the same large object that controls the orbit of the spheres in the solar system, but functionally and in principle, the same as inside of me. There's also a moon in me. There's also stars in me. There's also water in me. There's also mountains in me. There's also clouds in me. There are also animals in me. There's everything. Everything out there is in here. But again, you have the physical and you have the metaphysical. You have the physical and you have the metaphysical, right? Imam Asmar brought up correctly because it is part of the conversation. You need to own it and understand it. We're going to say more about it as we go on, inshallah. Creation-supported social logic. Creation-supported social logic. This is language from Imam Wazili Muhammad. This is the blessing from Imam Wazili Muhammad. Because Imam Wazili Muhammad was, from a physical perspective, we have that concept. And that's not a simple, a throwaway concept. Whether people get it or not, if you don't get it, then you just don't get the benefit of it. And nothing intended to be harsh in what I'm saying. But I'm saying it's a blessing. So what is it? Creation-supported social logic. The entire universe, and there's one reason they call it university. Why do they call it university? You could have called it something else. And even when you talk about college, you can read that as collage. Collage. You know, what's a collage? What's a university? University. Right? And even when you say university, when you say a T, that the hint is, speaking about the limitations of definitions and dictionaries, but now the sound of words, which is another direction from Imam Muhammad for reading and decoding and understanding things, university is small. It's small. Right? It's a small universe. All you got to do is just go to a university, and you will see that, yeah, it is a small universe. Right, it's a universe. Go to a university campus, and go from one end, go to the other, and see if that's not a universe. Yes, it's a universe. It's a university. Okay. Also, college. Right, university is a collection of colleges. Right, and college and collage. Collage, you have your different parts put together to make one picture. Right. And that's what makes up a university, and that's the nature of the universe. The universe, in so many ways, is a collage, right? But creation-supported social logic, it is the universe is a classroom. The universe is a classroom. The universe is an environment of instruction, and it's always emitting, and it's always teaching. And Allah says, وَتَقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِمُكُمُ اللَّهِ, and have taqwa. So there's the taqwa is in this all the way through it. It's the entire fabric of what we're saying. As I said, we're going to get to it. But in the context, wa taqullah wa yu'alimukum Allah, Allah says, and have taqwa because he's always teaching you. right? Have taqwa, because he's always giving you the science. Allah is always where all the time, where in the universe, wherever you're alive. So it's like, don't be ghafili, don't be unmindful. Always have your mind on. Always be conscious. Always seek to be conscious in the way that Allah would have you be conscious. That is taqwa, because there are lessons to be learned in every waking and even sleeping, but especially waking. In every waking hour and moment of your life, there is something to be learned, because Allah is always teaching. Where? Everywhere. Allah is teaching everywhere and all the time. The universe itself is just a body of information. That's what it is. It's a body of information. Let me slow down a little bit. You have the difference between signal and noise. Signal and noise, right? I don't know. I don't even know if it happens anymore, since everything's got so much satellite and internet kind of thing nowadays. Stuff just freezes and you have that. But I know many of you are old enough to remember having this snow. We call it snow on the screen, right? Snow on the screen. You know, hitting the TV on the side, trying to get the picture to show up, but it just so it's like you call it snow, and it's just noise. But what those all are signals. The signals are reaching the box. But because nothing is being singled out, no particular signal is being singled out, then it all overlaps and it's just noise. It's just noise. So understanding how to distinguish between signal and noise is critical to being able to get the picture. But it's all there. There are many, many signals. In fact, there are too many signals there based on the nature and state of that particular equipment. So all the signals are coming through. But when all the signals are coming through, they create confusion. They create noise, and they have no meaning. Until you have the apparatus, until you have the equipment that can separate the signal from the noise, then it's just snow. And there's Quran for this, so we're going to walk up to it. So speaking of the universe as information, so you look up there, you look at the stars at night, you look at what's going on in nature and what have you. It's like you have to get the information out of it. You have to get the information out of it. Hold on to that word too, information. So you have to be able to separate the signal from the noise. You're looking at the sky, but to be able to separate signal from noise, you have to have knowledge. When you get knowledge, then you can say what you see. You see, oh, okay. That's not a star. That's a planet, right? That's not a planet. That's the moon. All the different things. All right. Part of social logic is learning how to get the signal from the creation, make the translation to how it correlates to you personally and also to the society, right? So it's like you're pulling down the information. The sun rises and sets in a certain way. The moon waxes and wanes in a certain way. The trees and the plant life grow. Animals interact in the way that they do. That's a lesson. That's a lesson, and it's a lesson for a human being if the human being can read. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started his revelation to the prophet, the last revelation. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. There's that word, khalaq. Read in the name of your guardian evolver who gave everything its form, right? And in every form, there is information. When you see a form, that form is giving you some knowledge. That form is why? Because it was put into that form for a reason. Whose reason? For Allah's reason. Animals are shaped the way they are. The, the, those the sun, moon, stars react the way that they do by the will of Allah. I'm going to make this to do that. I'm going to make that to do this. And I'm going to do that to do this. And he, mashallah, he put in what he created, the information that he wanted that object to emit, that object to transmit. So I'm putting this information in you. And let me speak in these words, in these lines. Son, I'm putting this in you. This is the information I'm putting in you. And what you will do is you will operate this way. You will be of this design. You will be of this nature. You will function in this way. And you will carry this particular information. Now, when a human being grows up to be able to look into and see what out of these processes is the meaning that has bearing on their life. And these are things that happened millions, minimally hundreds of thousands of years ago, human beings began to abstract and understand, et cetera, about it. Okay. So Allah created creation, and he embedded in creation information. The human being has to grow up to be able to abstract from the creation, the information that the creator put in the creation. When he abstracts it and abstracts it properly, then he understands what it says to him about himself, and he understands what it says to him about how society should be structured. Right? Creation supported social logic. Now, there's a long history. We are way down the road of that particular development, because we're actually living in a society that is actually already done that. Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayh, where he said, you talk about pagan societies, right? You have the pagan Romans and the pagan Greeks with their pantheon of gods, right? So I always got to throw in, look, I got the ancient Kemet, I got the stolen legacy. I got that. All right, let's move on. So you have you got the Egyptians, right? So let's go with the Egyptians first, and the great civilization that they built. And actually, the picture of Pharaoh that we get that is not complementary of the Pharaoh. That Pharaoh is a later Pharaoh. That's a Pharaoh like an Iblis character. I'm talking about the one in the Quran. That Pharaoh is like an Iblis in that there was the Egypt that was favorable, and there was the Egypt. Take, for example, the Egypt of Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, right? So the Egypt of Yusuf and the Egypt of Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, two different Egypts, okay? So let's allow that to just let that soak in, hang with that. So the idea is that the knowledge that built the great Egypt, the admirable, honorable, noble Egypt, was knowledge that was based on the understanding of the human being. That knowledge was based on the understanding of the human being. How does that tie? It ties concretely, and I get it from the man. It's like not new for me. That the Egyptian, the scientists of Egypt, the human scientists of Egypt, the elite knowers of Egypt, they looked into, studied, came to understand the human being and human nature, and then they structured their order on the basis of what they discovered in the human being, right? And it's also that knowledge that enabled them to have power in the universe itself. It's like it is still not known how the pyramids were built. It's still not known. So some people want to say that they're aliens, that aliens built it, right? And analogically, metaphysically, I can see how someone would say, well, they must be aliens. Yeah, they're alien to who we are right now. they are so far beyond who we are right now that it's like, yeah, it had to be aliens because we can't figure out how they did it, how it was done. So the idea is that they had that knowledge. Now, granted, it happened with the Egyptians. Okay, stolen legacy. All right. Well, that same legacy, when you go to the Greeks and you go to the Romans, they took that same information and they adapted it to their uses in their society, and they built their civilization. But the point is that the civilizations that they built, so yeah, the Roman civilization, you can call it pagan. Greek civilization, you can call it pagan. But pagan doesn't mean, the idea is that they also came into, by whatever means, they came into the knowledge of the nature of human beings and then structured their civilization upon that knowledge. Now, whether they told everybody what it was that they were using, which they didn't. They kept that knowledge among the elite. But the elite, in the way that they exercised the knowledge, still enabled them to build what is known as the civilization, the Roman civilization, the Greek civilization, et cetera. But the only point that I'm trying to underscore is that it was based on insights into the human being. All right? The human being is a small carrier of the knowledge that's in the universe. So you study the human being, discovering what makes him tick, I'll put it that way, and then make the translation into civilization, which also includes greater knowledge of the human being, you get greater knowledge of the cosmos. Greater knowledge of the cosmos, greater knowledge of the human being. And you use that knowledge to abstract principles, axioms, laws, rules. You put them in books. You put them in hieroglyphics. You put them in stories. You put them in myths and the like, and pass it, apply it in the society, and pass it along between the people who have the responsibility for molding, shaping, leading, guiding, protecting, controlling, managing, whatever the society. That is what actually happened, and that's how we got what they have. All right. Fatara and Khalaqa, I'm trying to also stay on a simple level with these Quranic terms. Fatara, we already talked about the original conception. Now, Fatara, you can think about Fatara as metaphysical or abstract. Metaphysical or abstract. Metaphysical abstract, by that, simply means you can apply it to be rules, laws, principles, rules unseen, rules, laws, and principles. That is, they are fixed in as much as they are rules and laws and principles, all right? But they are also abstract in that they don't give weight in your hand. You cannot see them, but they are real and affecting and operating in the physical realm, but they are the metaphysical, the influential aspects that's making, it's like gravity. That's always the easy one to get to. Gravity is something that you don't see, but it is affecting everything literally in the universe, and especially here on Earth. So it's concrete, but it's concrete in that it is real. That's all I mean by concrete in this case. But it's also abstract in that it's not something that that reaches any of your senses in that sense to be able to, okay, I ask you, what does gravity feel like? Okay, right now, you're under the influence of gravity. What does it feel like? You can't really describe it, don't even try. So what does it feel like? What does it taste like? What does it look like? What does it smell like? What does it sound like? So gravity doesn't reach any of your five senses, but is gravity real? Yes, gravity is real. So it's real, but it's abstract. Boom. Okay. But when you talk about chalaka, chalaka literally is form. Is form, right? But the chalaka came from the fetera. That is, there's not a form that exists, but that it is Allah that gave the nature that Allah, who created it, embedded in it by virtue of its nature, right? The sun has its form, but what is in it is also what Allah willed for it. So Allah's will is in the sun. Allah's will is in the moon. Allah's will is in it. And all the information and all the intention that Allah has for it is in it. And everything that Allah has created is operating in accordance with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything carries information. Everything carries information. The growth that has to happen is that the person has to grow up to the point where they become a scientist. And we've been, one of the things that the world has done to us is that, okay, well, only certain people can be scientists. No, all of us are supposed to be scientists. All of us were. Why? Because you're supposed to see into what Allah created. You have to see into Allah what Allah created. Why? Because that's where you're going to get the bounties of Allah. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. When you read what Allah has created, you will find that Allah is most generous. The gift of Allah is what he has as information in the creation, which when you abstract it and apply it in your daily life as is intended by Allah, then you're going to say, oh, this is how you get the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the benefits of knowledge. The benefits of knowledge. And that's why knowledge is at such a high level. And what Allah says in the reports from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the obedient intellect and how there's nothing more excellent than you, all this is to tell us that you have to get your mind turned on, get your intellect turned on, get the cognitive development, and then put it to work on abstracting from the creation what Allah put in it. And then take that and use it in your everyday life, and you'll find your life enriched. You'll find your life enriched. Oh, wow. So in the beginning of the Surah Ar-Rahman, the gracious, right? Ar-Rahman, allama al-Quran, khalaqa al-insan, allamahu al-bayan. That also is saying in another way the same thing that I'm saying. God is now telling you in that one, in the first revelation, read the creation. When you read the creation, abstract from the creation, you'll find that your Lord is most generous. Now, Allah, Surah Ar-Rahman, read the Quran, His grace. Ar-Rahman, allama al-Quran. Taught, caused the Quran to be known. Khalaqa al-insan, He created al-insan. Now, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, insan is not just the physical man being talked about. Insan is also civilization. Also civilization. Insan is civilization. All right? Ar-Rahman, allama al-Quran, khalaqa al-insan, gave the civilization its form. When Allah revealed the Quran, did not He create another civilization? He created another civilization. When the Quran became known and the Quran became widespread, the Quran became understood, and when the Quran was applied, you had a great Islamic civilization. Great Islamic. Khalaqa al-insan. And then alamahul bayan. Alamahul bayan, I have not done what I intend. Ma'Allah's will, inshallah. Get to it. But al-bayan, when you get to al-bayan, al-bayan is translated to say speech and intelligence. Very important. Language is very important. Human language, unique to all quote-unquote forms of communication. But the human language, which is a product of this cognitive capacity reaching its fullness, but then that's also what gives you the depth of science. The depth of science comes from the language that the Quran gives you, which forms the way that you think and the way that you perceive and the way that you approach the creation itself. And with this special, well, we say special, yeah, well, it's special, but it means like once you understand it, that's quote unquote simply what God did. Universe filled with information. The only way you're going to get the information is be able to go into the creation. The way to go into the creation, you go into the creation as a scientist. When you go into the creation as a scientist, then you come out with information from the creation, right? That is grounded in the role and the function of language, the role and the function of language. And there's different languages. German language, Greek language, Latin, French, quote unquote, all the languages of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed a language in the Quran that no human being created. The Arabic of all the Arab speaking world is not the Arabic of the Quran. It's not the Arabic of the Quran. The Arabic of the Quran creates a different kind of mind. The Arabic of the Quran creates a different kind of mind, different than the Egyptian mind, the Mauritanian mind, the Moroccan mind, the Sudanese mind, whatever. The Arabic of the Quran creates an entirely different mind, right? And this al-bayan has to do with investigating something to get to the bottom of it, literally. When you understand it, that it means he taught man the language that would take him to the foundations of creation. Taught allama al-Quran khalaqa al-insan. It wasn't just speech and intelligence in the anthropological sense. With the revelation of the Quran, he taught man the language that would take him to the foundations of the cosmic design. Allahu Akbar. You know what I'm saying? Deep dive. Some of you know. In the Quran, it talks about Ar-Rashikhun. Ar-Rashikhun. And those are people who are deep divers. How are they able to go so deep and dive on it? Because of the language of the Quran. It's as al-bayan, it will take you to the foundation of creation. And when you get to the foundations of creation, that is the knowledge. That is the knowledge. So we're gonna wind up. Okay, now I've said a lot, and I've kind of allowed myself to. Okay, well let's just go. Let's just say, they get it. I pray Allah blesses that to be so. Let me give one more opportunity before I just close out. I don't want to just walk away without this. There's a lot to be said, and I'm not forcing any particular order on it right now. Nazim, punch out if you don't have a question. Imam Asma, punch out. Your one is still lit, so punch it out. But I also want to give a chance before we close out for anyone to ask a question relative to the need for clarification. I'm more interested in making sure that I didn't just leave somebody confounded with anything that I said and you want clarification, then go ahead and I can read the comments. You can read the comments here. Thank you all for your presence in this. Any others, please do that. So, Nazim, are you back or did you hear me? Let's see. I'll open you up anyway. Nazim, you had a comment or question or no?
Yeah, I had a comment, Brother Imam, a real brief one, too.
Go ahead.
I wanted to go back to what we were talking about, 8:53, never, and then we were trying to find the other one. We thought it was 5:3:11, but it was 13:11. And when you look at it, you add the 8 and the 5, and you get 13, and you add the 8 and the 3, and you get 11. You know, so it's there.
There you go.
And I'm saying it in an abstract sense. That's not all that is there. And so, but when I go there and I see that, I'm not in my imagination. Allah is saying to me, I put it there for whoever wants to see it. You saw it.
Right.
Don't get the big head about it. Don't get drunk. You know, don't get all excited about numerology about it, but it's there to be seen.
Yeah,
and I just wanted to share that because that's a part of what I said earlier. This is what keeps me in the class and keeps me excited about the class because you're going to learn something new every week.
Absolutely. No, alhamdulillah, I appreciate that. That is shukran, man.
F1.
That truly, because I mean, if nothing has motivated you to even look, I'm speaking generically now. When I say you, anybody, I'm not just talking about him. It's like there's certain way. Yeah. There's Arkoun, I believe is the author's name. Arkoun, and here. The name of the book is chasing right now. But he says what the Muslim society suffers from, he's a Muslim, what the Muslim society suffers from is the unthought and the unthinkable. The unthought and the unthinkable. Some of the reason that we continue not to acquire a certain kind of knowledge because someone has told us not to even think that way. Is not to even think that way. So if somebody can tell you don't go over there with your thinking, then they put you in a cage, put you in a prison. Yeah, you do. You have to have boundaries for your thinking. You have to have a rational basis. You have to recognize when something is irrational. And all this is about guidance. So you have to be able to know, have some sense when knowledge is useless. But then you have to actually, and the Prophet modeled this for us, you have to make dua. We seek refuge with Allah from knowledge that brings no benefit, right? So it's like, please, oh Allah, don't let me go seeking after anything that's not beneficial. And so that's what happened. But you have some people say, and mashallah, and that's where, and perhaps for them, no doubt, that's where you should stay. You should stay where you're comfortable with everything that's being said. It's like, no, I don't want to hear anything that breaks my frame or that challenges my frame or doesn't agree with what this person has said because I agree with everything that person says. And anybody says anything different than what they say, then I don't agree with them. Okay, mashallah, that's the way human beings are. And that's for their safety, you know. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, he said, Allah gives us fear to protect us from those things that we can't deal with knowledge. So that's what fear is for. It's like you're afraid of certain kind of knowledge. Then it's like, okay, well, that's for your protection. Because one of the reasons you're afraid is because you don't have the knowledge to deal with whatever that knowledge is. So, yeah, God gave you that fear to protect you. But there's a hurtful dimension of it when you're afraid to go beyond what you quote unquote have embraced as understanding, and not even to consider it. I've heard a reading, a quotation. I'm not remembering the author of it, but it says one of the signs of being an adult is to be able to listen to another person's ideas and disagree with them. It's like, okay, you don't have to say, right, look, I don't even want to hear that. Right. Okay. Well, listen to the idea and disagree with it. You can do that. But all I'll say is, you know, this is the freedom. freedom of thought is critical. Freedom of thought, because thought is the vehicle of progress. Thought is the vehicle. So if somebody restricts your thought, they're restricting your freedom, right? So you got to be, quote, unquote, free thinker. Don't mean that you can just say anything stupid that you want to say. Well, I'm a free thinker. Well, that's not. Free thinker has rational boundaries for it. They have a standard. They have a system by which they do that. But enough of that. Let's see if there's one. As we know, this is an ongoing subject. Okay, I'll just mention this, and we'll elaborate on it later, inshallah, with Allah's grace. Khalaqa, right? Khalaqa is form, right? But it also, another word for the form is makeup. Another form, our makeup, right? That form is another. Khalaqa is a term for form, and form is also talking about our makeup. And inside of khalaqa, you also have the term character, right? Character. And character is also talking about your makeup, right? Now, here it is. What do we call the universe? We call the universe cosmos. 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 There's another word connects with that. Cosmetics. Cosmetics, right? See, we've always been told, you go to Macy's or you go to stores, whatever. And, where's the cosmetics? Where's the cosmetics department? Oh, it's over there, cosmetics. So this world has made us only think about cosmetics in terms of makeup, right? But there's another connection where they're exposing and hiding at the same time. They habituate you to seeing and reading and understanding a word in a particular way that they want for the masses. And this is the Roman and the Greek civilization thing applies to that. You can have your individual worship, but as a part of civilization, you have the worship the overall gods of the whole civilization. Well, in the same way, this society does that. So they give us the language that cosmetics and makeup. You have those two things. But cosmetics and makeup relate to khalaqa. Khalaqa. Now khalaqa is the Quranic Arabic word, which for us historically, temporally speaking, came after the Roman civilization, after the Greek civilization, etc. All right. That is for as far as the revelation itself. But the point is that the knowledge that's embodied now in the revealed language that Allah has given, the knowledge was true at the time, but it just wasn't given to everybody. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah reveals what He reveals, and then when you go into what Allah has revealed, and by His grace He enlightens you about it, now you can take that light and turn it backwards in time and say, oh, okay, so I see that back here the Egyptians did, what are you looking with? You're looking with the light from the Quran. Oh, the Egyptians, da-da-da-da, oh, the Greeks, da-da-da-da, oh, the Romans, da-da-da-da. Who's telling you this? Allah is telling you this through the light of the Quran. So even though the cosmos and cosmetics has to do with, I have another word for you too, cosmos has to do with cosmetics, right? And it has to do with makeup. And those of you who've been with me, this is part of the bonus benefit of having been along with those other conversations. When we talked about the shaitan, the hadith of the shaitan, and how man was first influenced by obedience to the creation, he wasn't influenced by the beauty of the creation. But then shaitan took his attention away from obedience, which is the taqwa, took his obedience away from that focus of the creation, and then he got focused on the beauty, the zinnun, as the imam talked about. He was focused on the beauty as opposed to the obedience. That's cosmetics. Because the cosmetic, meaning that when you get the beauty, because isn't that what cosmetics are supposed to be doing? The cosmetics is like, okay, this is the woman without this is the woman without the makeup, right? Now this is the woman with the makeup, right? Because like, come on now, you know it's a whole different, don't you know? Holy, 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 now listen, you know there's a whole different look. Okay. Look, this is the natural, right here, and this is the made up. You see how it keeps going? Made up. That's made up. Is it real? No. It's not real. What? It's made up. What it made with? Makeup. Right? What's makeup? Cosmetics. Right? So the point is, and that's one of the ways that Shaitan distracts us from obedience to Allah. He distracts us with beauty. And what is it? It also undoes the makeup of many. Their character gets lost because they were distracted by beauty that was done with cosmetics. I know there's a way you can untangle it otherwise, but the point is that in the cosmos there's beauty. In the cosmos is your makeup, right? The idea is to understand cosmetics simply to say and understand that there's a beauty in the cosmos. Your makeup is in the cosmos. Your form, and when you are better informed about the cosmos, then you will have a stronger makeup. I have a lot to say about it, but we're going to just leave it there. So I know there's a little frayed in some comments that I just made, but just make a note of it, and we'll get to some clarification of it later. If I don't, you got to bring it back. And Naeem, I have not forgot about your isomorphism, because it's all in there. The isomorphism is all in what I'm saying. From the cookie cutter to the dough and all of that, it's all there. All there. And we're doing it all the time. We just don't know. And the Quran speaks to it. But we don't have time now. So I'll give a hint for others of you, where it says, and Allah turned his attention to, in fact, I can tell you where the verse is, because I'm not talking about it, but those of you who want some homework, let me give you some homework there. I'll do that. All right. So for the object of the game of life, look at 91, 7 through 10, and think about the khutbah and see what you can pull out of that, because that's actually going to be Jumu'ah next week. The other one is 41, I believe it is. This is not meant. I operate on two computers, so I don't think that one moved over here. So I gotta let it go. But if you go to 41:10 through 12, let me see. This is okay. Yes. Okay. 41, 10, 11, 12. Yeah. 41, 10 through 12. 41, 10 through 12. And think about it in the context of all the things that we've talked about, especially signal, noise, information, the knowledge and the nature of creation. We'll get back to it by Allah's grace. Thank you so much for your patience with me. May Allah guide us to the best. Everybody have a wonderful day. Inshallah. We'll see you tomorrow, and then we'll both find out what we're going to be talking about. Salaam alaikum. Barakallahu alaikum.